there. Make Big Pimpin' or give it to me, one of those. Y'all held me as the greatest writer in the 21st century. I make some thought-provoking shit, y'all question whether he's falling off. I'ma really confuse y'all on this one.
Commissioner!
Follow. When them tops come down, chicks' tops come down. Like when them shots come out, make cops come around. When them blocks come out, I can wake up a small town. Finish off the block, then I make my more rounds. Stairs get exchanged, then the fifth come out. The tough guy disappeared, and the bitch come out. That's him, I'm usually what they whisper about. Either what chick he with, or his chip him out. Cause I've been doing this since Chips was out. Watching Eric Estrada bagging up at the Ramada. Table full of powder. AC broke, about to take another shower on my 25th hour. Spike Lee's everywhere, game on a flight. You might see me anywhere, day in the life. Pony thing changed the tail number on the flight. I can touch down and take off the same night.
I was just guessing the numbers.
In the mirror backwards, can't even face themselves, don't fear no rappers. They're all weirdos, De Niro's in practice. So don't believe everything your earlobe captures. It's mostly backwards, unless it happens to be as accurate as me. And everything said in song you happen to see, then actually believe half of what you see. None of what you hear, even if it's spat by me. And with that said, I will kill niggas dead. Cut niggas short, give you wheels for legs. I'm a K-I-L-L-E-R, C-R in hell. Shoot niggas straight through the ER. Whoa, this ain't BR, no. It's S-C-C-E-O, the next Leo. No, the next leader of the whole free world. And the first thing I'ma do is free Siegel. Go. Viva La Hova. Viva La Hova.
It was cold. It was the cold winter.
Your friends is
Chris and Gwyneth.
I told Jay I did a song with Coldplay. Next thing I know, he got a song with Coldplay.
London, England, south of France, and all points between and know about your man. In real life, I'm much more distinguished. I'm like a bloke from London, England.
London bridges are falling down. Not bridges, but britches with jiggers in town.
Ladies and gentlemen, historic night. Moving the keys, we have Chris Martin.
This is a public service announcement sponsored by
Cookie Soul.
Commissioner.
Very urban.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, here on Tuesday, May 25th, 2010. You are listening to CKLN Rude Awakening here on 88.1 CKLN FM, CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Special shout-outs to Nunu for breaking down some hip-hop, getting y'all in the mood for the way I do my show. We got a balls up for what's going on in the world, and so hopefully this combination of Jay-Z and Coldplay put together by Mick Boogie and Terry Urban can help us do that.
Let me tell you dudes what I do to protect us. Shoot at you actors like movie directors.
Confidence in you is confidence in me. It's confidence in a high space.
came through the box, exposing all the lies. Excuse me. It's fun. I got to tell you, folks, I just got back from Milton, about an hour west of Toronto. Although my Pa Duke's old man still kick my butt any day of the week because he's up early working out and eating right. Got me down here just in time to enjoy the beginning of Nunu's show, actually. I could have started earlier, but he was playing Scenario and some of that ancient tribe-ish, and just I was just like, you know what? I'd rather just check your show for another 5 minutes if you don't mind and chill out. And so much, much appreciated because, again, as you know on the show here on CKLN Rude Awakening, as your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Christian, I do host Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And I do manage to get up at 4:30 in the morning to usually come through here and be all full of energy because, well, I want that energy and I want that life and I want to feel alive at this time here in the 21st century. And one of the things I use to give me that energy is hip hop music, you know, and back in the day when we were getting ready to go to the club when I was just a young shorty and we was all trying to get just drunk enough to meet a girl, but not too drunk to piss her off. You know, we were all getting ready and shaving and showering and stuff. I'd be playing some, you know, some 50 Cent or some classic, you know, Jay-Z or whoever, and just trying to get myself in the mood to get out there. And that hasn't changed today, where people use music for confidence and the energy music gives them all the time. And so definitely try and share that a little bit here on this show. I've been up for a few hours. I had obviously a fairly chilled out time, seeing some relatives who are here from India, staying with my cousin out in Milton, his parents, for a few months, and got to see a bunch of kids, got to see my nephew, and hang with my folks for a bit. And so it's awesome to be in that world because I often operate on a pretty high energy level. But at the same time,
sure I do. I'm from the streets where the hood swallow on me. Bullets will follow on me. There's so much coke that you could run the slalom. The cops comb the shit top to bottom. They say that we are prone to violence, but it's home sweet home, where personalities clash and chrome meets chrome. The coke prices up and down like it's Wall Street homes. But this is worse than the Dow Jones. Your brains are now blown all over that brown brome. One slip, you are now gone. Welcome to
And yeah, so I do feel like I, you know, I go out, I hang out with a bunch of lovely, nice suburban brown people. My parents, they old, they paid enough taxes into this country, and so whatever, you know, if they want to slack, fine, and if I want to grind at 6 a.m., you know, half my time, it is what it is. And I got to tell you, folks, I ate a ton of this sort of rice patty thing, idli kadabu. Yesterday, I go home. My mom's like, you got to eat. You got to eat or you don't love me. I'm like, all right, fine. And then my dad's like, you got to play tennis. You got to play tennis. You don't love me. I'm like, this isn't going to work out well at all. And so I was stuffed the whole day. And then I went later on to play tennis with my dad and my cousin for a bit. And that was fun. But it was a little tiring, a little exhausting, a little fun. At the same time, I'm trying to, you know, stay reserved. I got my auntie and uncle saying, so what you been up to? And I'm like, trying to start a revolution. How do I say that in a way that ain't going to freak your, you know, your old brown butts out? I managed to, you know, everybody's being cool. But even though I went to bed around 11:30 midnight-ish last night, you know, all waiting for my clothes to dry in the dryer, they weren't dry yet, and just needing to get up early this morning, I did wake up around 2 o'clock in the morning, and I have been sort of thinking on and off ever since, and well, not in a bad way, but in a way that makes me go, you know what? Let me tell you fools what I do to protect this. Shoot at you actors like movie directors. And I think that's one of the things that I've been trying to advocate. Yesterday's show was Happy 2-4 when guys go to war. And not going to repeat that today, but it is an ongoing theme on this show of how do we handle things? I just played a report yesterday Associated Press report where Miley Cyrus toy is being recalled from Walmart because they have cadmium. Now, if you're a guy out there, are you going to go tell your friends with kids to throw out them Miley Cyrus toys, even if the kids cry so the kids aren't retarded? Well, I'd hope you do. I hope we all do, and I hope we all take take a bit of initiative on these issues. So let me just take a quick look at Infowars.com here. Going to break out some interesting stuff. A report by Mark Dice. Kids call Obama out on his lies. It's great. Kids attack President Obama. Everybody's picking on Obama now. Like I said yesterday, a friend of mine is passing out copies of the Obama deception in this country. We're all kind of hip to the fact that there was a two-year corporate con played on us. So let's hear what this kid's got to say. This is going to be interesting.
Security money.
What are you and your criminal friends doing?
Are you trying to bankrupt the country with your out-of-control spending?
Are you trying to bankrupt our country?
What are you doing at the Bilderberg Group, scum?
What are you doing at the Bilderberg Group?
You're a lying piece of garbage.
He and his criminal friends should be arrested.
I can't trust any politician.
Let me try.
No.
Stop spending my Social Security money.
Impeach Obama.
I think President Obama is an illegal alien.
I think he should be impeached.
Okay. He and his criminal friend should be arrested.
I think he should be impeached.
I think Obama should be impeached.
Obama's only interested in giving money to his Goldman Sachs friends.
Please stop destroying my future.
Stop spending my Social Security.
Don't call me racist because I don't like Obama.
Turn off your television because it's brainwashing you.
And that was courtesy of Mark Dice at markdice.com. Mark Dice is one of the most innovative freedom fighters that we have in the world right now. He's a diehard Christian, but he doesn't just talk about that. He talks about how to kick bad guys' butts, which is, I think, a key strength that religion should give you. God, give me strength. Oh, you did? Awesome. Now I can go kick some butt on behalf of those kids whose future is being robbed by not Obama per se, because Obama's a salesman for the establishment that was there, you know, before him, just like Bush was a salesman, just like Clinton was a salesman. There are entire bureaucracies that are there that you inherit essentially when you become the leading political figure of a country, and those bureaucracies don't necessarily change overnight. So I don't put all this on Obama, but I do put some of this on Obama because I don't think he's too stupid as a former Harvard lawyer and educator to know what he's doing. So Mark Dice and markdice.com, posted by Infowars.com here, innovatively came up with an idea of helping to use kids to sort of promote this idea to kind of resonate with us. He's also gone to a beach, and he's gone and shot a whole bunch of beautiful girls. This is like 4 years ago, with respect to 9/11 truth, and got a bunch of girls in bikinis to say, you know, Mr. Cheney, you know, why did you order the planes to stand down and not shoot at the plane that was heading towards the White House? You know, and a whole bunch of other, you know, why did Building 7 come down when it wasn't even hit by a plane and just had small fires, and on about 9/11, because of course 9/11 was an inside job. Got a bunch of hot girls in bikinis to say it, and lo and behold, within 2 days, 50,000 views on YouTube. Whereas, you know, most, you know, 9/11 inside job videos, you know, 74 views, 113 views. Dude, I'm up to 200 views. This is awesome. Hot girls in bikinis dropped 50,000 views. I haven't actually seen the number of views on this clip yet. But let's just see when it was posted here. Okay, so 5,682 views. And it was just posted on May 23rd, so just a couple of days ago. And again, you can see this youtube.com/user Mark Dice. So he does have a built-in fan base, but he's just exceptionally innovative. And creativity is one of the things we got to do. A lot of times in this movement here, the anti-New World Order freedom movement that we espouse here on this show, people go, oh, you just burn some DVDs. You know, that's it. You know, or there's nothing you can do. You just do what you can. You just try. Well, look, 9/11 was almost 9 years ago. And so we can get a little bit innovative. You know, we can do this here where we can get kids to attack Harper. Mr. Harper, why are you such a fascist? And you could get adults to laugh at it enough to take the fear and the edge and the heaviness off it to actually, you know, step up to the plate and handle it on a less humorous level, which, of course, is something that's worth doing. So back to Infowars. as there is a ton of stuff, and I'm going to play a couple of clips from this later. Here we go. Canadian government pays organizations to troll political chat forums. And I got to tell you, my TorontoTruthSeekers.com group, I think we've been attacked recently by spooks. I had a feeling that we'd get attacked because I knew, and I wrote all this. I sent all this crap out. I emailed all this. I was like, you don't understand, man. We were the guys in the streets last summer every freaking Saturday warning people about the risks of all vaccines, but especially the H1N1 vaccine, which now nearly everybody thinks was a big scam, you know, drummed up by the drug companies to sell a country of 30 million people 60 million vaccines. You know, imagine if you're an artist out there, if you're a rapper out there. Imagine if you can sell 60 million albums to 30 million people. What kind of scam is that? And so, you know, that's what the drug companies got. They sold, you know, 600 million vaccines to the states. They only got 300 million people. And we were fortunate that only about, you know, 20, 30% of us took them. But we were unfortunate because only 6% of the French did. France. Because people in France went, no. People in France were like, hey, just let people, you know, just let people do their thing. People in France were sacre merde, mon dieu, tabarnak. Do not touch that filthy vaccine from Big Pharma side. And we have barely seen any evidence of the H1N1. And you are a fool if you take the vaccine. And then other French dudes was like, whoa. Okay. I won't take it, man. And yeah. You know, so we tried to do that here in TDOT, on the streets of TDOT last summer, handing out vaccine exemption forms. And people don't even know they can get vaccine exemption forms. And so we were handing them out at Dundas Square, saying, no, this is legal. Go to a notary, let them clarify you ain't Photoshopped this, and then take it to your school. And then when they try and shoot your kid, they see that, and they don't want to get sued, so they don't shoot your kid. And even if you believe in vaccines, fine. Then you shouldn't care if other kids in a class aren't vaccinated if yours is, because you think the vaccine works. So why you care if my kid's not vaccinated? Why are you tripping? Your kid got vaccinated, right? Good. Then don't worry if mine's not, because your kid's vaccine should protect your kid from getting sick. So, you know, it ain't nothing. It ain't nothing. But anyway, so a group with that kind of credibility, Toronto Truth Seekers, on the streets of Toronto every Saturday at Dundas Square, sometimes for 6, 7, 8 hours, sometimes till 4 a.m. outside the former Speaker's Corner outside Nathan Phillips Square, New City Hall in Toronto, which has been removed. So we no longer have a free speech Speaker's Corner symbol that had been there since 1988. It's gone now. And it was again, right outside City Hall, right outside Nathan Phillips Square. So that's tragic, but, you know, it is what it is. And be cool. Okay. Sorry. I have an authority figure just walking in on me, and I was like, what am I doing wrong? Andrew's kind of put the plastic cuffs on me. But no, we're cool. But okay. So the point is, I guess I'm being audited. Nice. So the point is that, anyway, we've been on the streets till like 4:30 in the morning, you know, promoting the information about the H1N1 vaccine. And so that was a significant thing. And now if the same group with the same credibility were to be on the streets right now warning us about the G20, warning us about 10,000 troops, 10,000 police, 1,000 private contractors here, like in Iraq and New Orleans, people who maybe if they shoot us, they'll just get whisked out in military planes because of the legal uncertainty around, you know, how they roll. You know, if we were on the streets right now, then warning people, then they would take us seriously because there would be a sense of urgency about it that we would advocate. But you know, hey, it is what it is. We've been kind of slack recently. A couple of people that haven't done much for the group have convinced a couple of people in charge of the group to not like me. Because I can come off a little bit arrogant because I do say, no, we can do this. We can burn DVDs. We can make flyers. If someone doesn't want to talk about it, give them a piece of paper. You know, maintain your relationship. Maintain your cool. Don't get into this type of attitude that I'm copping on the radio right now in a one-on-one conversation with somebody. It's too intense. Don't clear a patio. You know, don't do nothing. And they will think about you now and then. And I have the proof of this, having been in this game for about 5 years. So, before I get to this article from Infowars.com about spooks trolling message boards and messing with us, All I'll say is this, because I don't like to air our business, but our business is fairly public at this point. A couple of good friends of mine who I worked with for some time now now think I'm scum and I'm a moron and I might be a spook and I might be a liar and I might be evil and I might be the Antichrist. And these are very, very good, very, very good friends of mine. One of them gave me a cell phone. One of them fixed my computer. Both of them trusted my counsel, and I trusted theirs. And for some reason, now they don't trust me. And whenever anything like that happens, you got to ask. And I am coming home again. I am not giving up on this city. I'm not giving up on Toronto True Seekers. I'm not giving up on what we can do. I don't care if it's cool not to talk about this, but I'm aware of that. So we may hang out and you may not hear me say nothing. Nothing. I was at the Vapor Trail Cafe, little pod cafe on Saturday after some flyering, ran to some people at a free Mark Emery protest. Go to markemery.ca, markemery.ca to help bring him back from his 5-year prison sentence, having recently been extradited. And I'm just chilling in the pod cafe, going with the flow of the conversation. People know I'm conspiracy, so they're bringing crazy stuff up to me, but I'm not trumping them. I'm not trumping them. I'm listening, I'm backing up, and I'm moving, but I'm not trumping them because I know. And the point is that I have made enough mistakes in this game over the last 5 years to know these things. And so I don't say them to tell you what to do. I say them to say, look, man, this can help you. And you know, you don't have to piss off your friends. And you also don't have to go at them in one way. You know, a lot of times people get really conspiracy-constipated on these issues, and they never, ever express them. But I know I did a fantastic radio show yesterday. I loved it. I heard it. But if you didn't like it, fair enough. That's the way I like my radio. And so I like yesterday's radio show a lot, and I've gotten, you know, some other work done recently on these issues, and I've expressed myself, and my colleague and I went plastering the city, plastering Yonge Street, Yonge and Queen yesterday with a bunch of what are we going to do before the G20 flyers, and should men age 25 to 45 really man up on heavy issues in the country of Canada on behalf of Canadian women, children, and the elderly. And so having been productively fulfilled, I was totally ready to go hang with my fam and just chill out. I ain't need to get in nobody's face. I ain't got nothing to get off my chest. I ain't need to mess up nobody's day. And the problem with a lot of people who look into this information is they get conspiracy-constipated. They don't do anything with it. They just keep downloading more and more of it. And then they just assault people with this information. After a while, like they just say, they talk to people in ways they'd never want to be talked to, you know, with that type of, dude, 9/11 is an inside job. You got to believe me. You're an idiot for not listening to me. Well, if somebody came at a conspiracy theorist or a truther or an anti-New World Order activist on that tip on a different issue, you know, like, you can't cook, dude, you got to be able to cook. That's pathetic. You can't even boil toast, man. That's ridiculous. You know, you got to listen to me. You know, you're going to save money, you'll be healthier, what's wrong with you? Then you'd be like, look, back off. And so we've all got to back off and find more creative ways of doing this. But we are in a communist Canadian culture here, and I'm going to play a little clip from Anti-Psychiatry Radio. I've never done this before, but a couple of times, a fellow CKLN program, to break down what psychiatry is doing to us from a chemical and medical level, and I'll break down the sociological aspects, as well as the Canadian government sending spooks to muck around on our message boards. Again, Anti-Psychiatry Radio from March 12, 2010.
And welcome to another special edition of Anti-Psychiatry Radio.
This is your proud anti-psychiatry host, psych survivor host, Don Weitz, for the March 12th, 2010 edition on Revolutionary Radio. You're tuned to 88.1 FM CKLN. Tonight, friends, this is another special edition. I am special guest David Carmichael, whom I will introduce very, very soon. And just to get a little background and context, some of you know I've spoken out against the serious adverse effects of psychiatric drugs, including the so-called safe and effective and antidepressants like Paxil and Effexor and Prozac and the other brain damaging drugs called neuroleptics, otherwise called antipsychotics. That's a misnomer because they don't combat anything so-called psychotic. Anyway, this man, David Carmichael, is widely revered and respected. And I'll tell you why, but you will find out as we go along here. David Carmichael is a survivor of Paxil. He was given Paxil when he, and like millions of others, get down or labeled depressed. And very shortly after that, I think it was maybe a second bout, or anyway, he was depressed for a while. The doctor gave him Paxil, and soon he ended up killing his son. Very tragic, but wait till you hear the story. I won't say anymore. Welcome to CKLN, to Anti-Psychiatry Radio, David. And you've got a hell of a story to tell, so you can start wherever you want to.
Well, Don, I appreciate the opportunity to share this story. It's like an important story for a lot of people who are very quickly prescribed, and in many cases unnecessarily, these antidepressants known as selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRIs. And in my case, I didn't have my first major depression until I was 2003. I was prescribed the drug Paxil. I went on it, and actually I weaned myself off it when I had a full prescription. My doctor didn't tell me any of the side effects. About 4 months later, I was quite sleep deprived. Now that I'm now 46 years of age, and I put myself back on my full prescription, thinking that I knew all I needed to know about the drug. Immediately started to have suicidal thoughts, suicidal planning. I thought if I took a bit more, it would be better. I would get rid of those thoughts. Mm-hmm. It actually took me into a state of what's called psychosis, which is sort of like being in a dream state. And, you know, when you're in a dream and you wake up and you realize just how unreal that is. Well, that's really like being psychotic. You're sort of in this state where you're delusional. It's false fixed beliefs. It's just crazy thinking when you come out of it. And so 12 days after, I increased my dosage from 40 milligrams to 60 milligrams, which was 19 days after I started the drug again. I strangled my 11-year-old son, Ian, who I miss very, very much. And as much as, you know, it's one of those tragedies that it's very difficult to overcome, my wife, daughter, and I decided that we're going to do whatever we can to try to prevent tragedies like ours.
Yes.
And, you know, I really feel I have a responsibility to both my children. I have a 19-year-old daughter, Jillian, and she's my day-to-day motivation, and she's probably what kept me alive when I was charged with first-degree murder, so I had to go through the criminal justice system and then the psychiatric system. And now I'm free, though. I've got an absolute discharge.
And you were discharged. You got an absolute discharge, my understanding, and from the media accounts and from your own account is that it wasn't, you know, it was because of the drug, right? It was because not criminally responsible, is that it?
Right. I was not criminally responsible. I think what's interesting with this case, there's evidence that we've never shared that was collected right afterwards, where the drug actually shot me into almost like a manic type of state where my IQ was higher than normal, my concentration was higher than normal, my energy was higher than normal. I was functioning way beyond capacity. That's also when my mind was quite delusional. But I was calm and I was organized. People would not have known anything was wrong with me. It was like I just got shot out of my depression, and I took my son away thinking, you know, that he's in living hell, that he had permanent brain damage, he was going to kill my daughter, make my wife have a nervous breakdown, hurt other children. And I did not know right from wrong. And when you don't know right from wrong, in the United States, they call it insanity. And in Canada, they call it not criminally responsible. So I did come out of my psychosis 2 weeks after I was in jail, and it was the most excruciating 3 days of my life. I cried for 3 days straight, realizing what I had done.
You were suddenly trying, you had stopped at that point.
Yeah, I was still
stopped taking the Paxil while you were in jail.
Right, when I was arrested and charged with first-degree murder, I was in London, Ontario, and I was taken to jail, and they didn't give me any of my drugs. So I was still psychotic for 2 weeks afterwards. I mean, you can become psychotic when you increase your dosage or you go on it for the first 30 days.
Yeah.
Seem to be the most concerning periods. Or if you suddenly stop. And
yeah.
So I was still psychotic for 2 weeks. So for me, it was like a cloud lifting. And I honestly, when I finally realized what I'd done was so wrong and my delusions were starting to break down, most excruciating 3 days of my life. So, Ian was a wonderful boy, a real little BMXer, young little athlete, and he's my inspiration. My daughter's my day-to-day motivation, but I really feel I have a responsibility to both of them to not be silent, to deal with the shame. I've had to work through the guilt.
Yeah.
And, to really try to make sure that we can prevent tragedies like ours, suicides and homicides or murder-suicides.
Defend me from those that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of inequity. And save me from the bloody man.
Look, my state of a gangster from the 40s. Meet the business mind of Motown's Berry Cordy.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. Again, a clip from Anti-Psychiatry Radio from March 12, 2010. Why is that important? Well, how does this all relate in? Started off the show with, again, some tales of heading home and some tales of being able to chill out. But the New World Order, the forces behind globalization, as many members of the left used to call it before 9/11, and fewer since, because 9 years ago, there were 9 years ago. You know, whether you believe in a new world order, and secret societies or not, or think tanks or not, or whatever, that there are, forces around the world working together, pushing towards a globalized, unified, standardized system. And so, that whatever you want to call that, the closer you look at it, the more details you see. But regardless, we could all see it. And, you had 200,000, 300,000 people, at protests in Germany and Seattle and so on before 9/11. And then as Carol Brie, C-A-R-O-L-B-R-O-U-I-L-L-E-T, activist out of California said, she said that after 9/11, most people just weren't interested in being that vocal. About protesting the government, and that attitude is being reinforced. So, you start off the show with checking out fam, getting enough work done on important issues to be cool with people that you know, so that they understand that even if you look into this, you can be cool. You're not always going to be, on it. Like, it's like if you're selling Amway, are you always selling Amway? If you're a Jehovah's Witness, are you always selling Jehovah's Witnesses? You know what I mean? So, if you care about Amway or Jehovah's Witnesses or Christianity or the truth or Islam or anything else, you still have to sell it. And so you can get creative in ways to sell it, like Mark Dice did, by recruiting some kids to go at Obama for robbing them of their future, as part of the group that's doing it, as the front man, the current front man for the Anglo-American establishment, and the guy who's pushing us towards a new world order by suggesting that, no one country can be above any other, and no nation can act on its own in a world that's this interdependent. And you're like, uh-oh, that's Obama speak for new world order. Anyway, what you have is you have the system of globalization. And that globalization is taking place on a political, economic, social, cultural, and psychological level. And then sometimes the people go, what's wrong with that? It'd be great. One world, one this, one that. Well, the problem is they want one mind, one group hive mind. And they've already introduced the concept of the brain chip to the blind Alzheimer's patients, You know, Sega developers said he wants to bring one out for video games. So, you know, you can have the 3D, the new 3D TVs. Yeah, you can have that in your head soon. But again, like the Matrix, if the movie The Matrix from 1999, if we are, in fact, brain-chipped, then it'll be a hell of a lot tougher for us to do anything or want to do anything in the physical world, making us perfect slaves for the elite with no chance of rebelling. So speeding things through, how are they getting there? Well, psychiatry, psychology, standardizing groupthink is one way to do that, crushing individuality. Played some clips yesterday from the legendary Alan Watt at cuttingthroughthematrix.com to break down how the New World Order wants to destroy individuality. And part of that is through psychiatry. Part of that is by using the new CAMH. And part of that is by arbitrarily enforcing rules as part of, you know, socialist social engineering policies where they say, look, this is for your own good, so we're going to tell you what to do. And you're thinking, if you are thinking, wait, it's my own good. So can I think of what to do? But, and I'm going to get to the troll article in a sec. But I just did a little Google News search at Google.com of CAMH. And there's an article here saying CAMH to go smoke-free from April 28th, 2010. Again, they're building a giant new CAMH communist concentration camp, communist mental health concentration camp, 27 acres at Queen and Ossington. They're expanding the old one there. And why do I call it that? Because I've talked to people who've left CAMH. I've talked to people who've been to CAMH. I've talked to people who run establishments around CAMH. And they got nothing good to say about CAMH, you know. If you say I'm feeling bad, then they got drug X. If you say I'm feeling really bad, they got drug Y. If you say I'm feeling really, really bad, they got drug Z. No one says, you know, why? Can we talk this through that? Because the psychiatry model is generally not that. And that's why I want to play that clip of Anti-Psychiatry Radio and get us hip to the fact that a giant commie concentration camp is going up in the middle of freaking Toronto, and not enough of us are paying attention because it's being carefully integrated with the city with ads selling it like it's a condo. Now, $30 a month. And you're like, a condo for $30 a month? No, they want you to donate $30 a month to help fund their operations. But again, just looking at the history of their operations, looking at psychiatry, with all due respect to Scientology of all disciplines, I agree with them on nothing, although I haven't looked into it much. And I've met a couple who've, you know, kept me open to the idea that they do look into things that, you know, other sort of religions, studies, disciplines ignore, however you want to call that thing. But they did an excellent expose called Psychiatry and Industry of Death at just north of Young and College a couple of years ago. And they had a whole history there, like a little room, like at a science center or something where you could walk around and you could see, you know, the history of psychiatry from, you know, dunking people in cold water to, you know, to cutting people open and, you know, sticking leeches in them or frogs to suck out evil demon spirits to electroshock therapy to MK Ultra experiments practiced by the CIA and Dr. Ewan Cameron at McGill University in the 70s, exposed by ABC News and the Church Committee hearings on the CIA in the U.S. Congress in 76 and so on. So there have been tons of admissions about what they're up to. And yet, you know, we forget. So back to this CAMH smoke-free article. Canada's largest mental health center plans to go smoke-free starting in July. The Center for Addiction and Mental Health already banned smoking indoors starting in July. It will also prohibit patients and staff from lighting up anywhere on its three properties in downtown Toronto. It is not telling clients and staff they have to quit. So now you're not allowed to smoke anywhere on CAMH. Can you believe this? You take people with mental problems and you deny them a smoke? I mean, this is just exacerbating their mental problems if they're smokers. Now, if you say, well, people shouldn't smoke. Yeah, well, people shouldn't be denied the option. You know, if they're feeling stressed and if you're in an insane asylum, it's entirely possible you might be. So it says here, this is first and foremost part of CAMH's commitment to transform care for our clients, moving toward the recovery model of treatment, which includes physical well-being, the center said on its website. Quote, 100% smoke-free policy is part of this movement forward. We should not accept the lower quality of life for people with mental versus physical illness. Again, who decides that quality of life? Is it the people mentally mentally ill going, you know what, I'm dying for a smoke? I mean, what, you know, what? How should we see their their perceived needs as they perceive them themselves relative to the diktats, the universal homogenous diktats of the CAMH, did not even allow people, I'm gambling by this article, to smoke outside their establishment. And smoking is again, the New World Order works with problem, reaction, solution. They create a problem, they give us our reaction, this is an outrage, and then they give us our solution, which only results in empowering them more and putting us more under their control. So smoking is a perfect example. The Nazis and Hitler were super anti-smoking too. And in none of this conversation am I endorsing smoking per se. But I am endorsing freedom, and I am endorsing treating people who do smoke humanely. Because if you're a smoker and you get, you know, tossed into CAMH, or you choose to check yourself in because you think they can help you, and then you're there for any length of time, and then you can't smoke, then of course, you know, at an insane asylum. See, and I'll tell you, the reason I call this communist is because for the last 100 years, the foundations, the Rockefeller, Ford, you know, so on, the big ones, I've mentioned them on the show before. and this has been admitted in the 1964 Reese Commission hearings before Congress, when a congressman, Carol Reese, wanted to know what the impact of all these foundations and activism was on American culture. They've been trying to, you know, change Western culture, America primarily, but of course we get a lot of spillover, to merge seamlessly with the Soviet communist system for the third and final way, and a global standardization of kind of a global, you know, Sarkozy threatened to pull France out of Euro. London Telegraph. A global Chinese-style communism. And with a small elite on the top, a bunch of capitalists out there, and a huge slave labor population. And so on that note, hey, Mr. Smith, you can close the door if you want. I think Andrew wanted it open, but it's all good. So I'm being audited by a couple of my older and wiser colleagues here. So, you know, as you'd like. But anyway, so back to this. So the communists said that one of the things they wanted to do in their own documents, and I'll bring up a communist, people who used to work for the Communist Party exposed all this. They came out and said, yeah, here's the reading material we got. They wanted to find a way to standardize thinking and subvert the legal system in juries. And so they were behind promoting psychiatry a lot and psychology a lot, because once you're diagnosed as crazy, the state can do anything to you. And if you're in a system that's, you know, being subtly herded towards communism, and you can see the Marxism 2010 posters all over the streets, and, you know, the cover of Time magazine with Obama, we're all socialists now, and communism's just socialism in a hurry. And when you see how much our socialism is in a hurry these days, well, you get the idea. So the point is that, you know, they basically, the communist infiltrators in this country basically said, you know what, we want to promote mental health psychiatry, the Fabian Socialists, again, international organization, Tony Blair, Gordon Brown, the NDP are part of the International Socialists. They all share some of the same ideas because they're working towards the same New World Order globalization agenda. And so basically that what they said is, they said, look, first of all, if we call somebody crazy, we can do anything to them. No trial, no jury, no second check on this, nothing. And so we'll do that, you know, with people that are actually crazy for a while to get some credibility. But then we'll start doing that with dissidents, just like they did in the Soviet Union, where if you weren't a communist, you were considered crazy. And here in communist Canada, you know, you can be considered crazy if you want to fight the New World Order, or if you think 9/11 is an inside job, or if you speak on these issues, because a lot of people know. I mean, that's obvious. There's polls that are taken that show over half of us know 9/11 is an inside job, you know, likely sponsored by intelligence agencies within the United States government to launch a war on terror 9 years ago. And other intelligence agencies around the world and governments around the world benefit from this, because they can also say, we're fighting terrorists, so we got to check your emails, spy on your phone calls, put cameras everywhere, treat all of you like criminals, and find new and interesting ways to control all of you, because, you know, there's terrorists around everywhere. And yet most of the terror cases we've seen domestically have not borne fruit. So, and of course, another part of the communist agenda is the idea of the sustainability movement. We've all got to use less. We've all got to use less so that we can all have more of it in the future. Well, instead of using technology and innovation and creativity and free market economics and so on to leverage our resources, we're being told that we just have fewer resources, and that we all have to cut down on our resources. And when the entire population of the world can mathematically fit in Australia with an acre each to grow their own food, you can see that it's not a question of resources and resource shortages. And when you see what the government is spending money on, including a war in Afghanistan, which is just sucking up our resources and facilitating an increase in the use of heroin and opium around here, because our governments have to help the Afghanis because that's all they can sell, because blah, 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 and whatever nonsense stories they give us in the media. So how do we combat this, and who's combating us combating this? Well, let's go back to the article about COINTELPRO. And there's a whole bunch of this stuff. You can look up CENTCOM. You can look up COINTELPRO. But this is Canadian, courtesy of Brit Paul Joseph Watson. Canadian government pays organization to troll political chat forums. Again, one example of one admission of many possibilities out there. I know I've seen a whole bunch. I've seen the character of these guys starting the same fights every week at Toronto True Seekers, and always doing the same thing. And again, you need to have plans in place. If all you do is bark at every dog that barks at you, then you're going to be barking an awful long time if you're an activist, because people are going to be sent to bark at you. But if you have plans and goals, or if you have goals and plans to achieve them and a methodology you want to stick to that and keep evolving and improving, then it's way harder to mess with you. And anybody that does mess with you is clearly exposed. But if all you do is believe this crap and then someone challenges you on it, you could spend half your life just barking at people who have absolutely no interest in learning from you, only an interest in getting you riled up. So here to this article. The next time you struggle to comprehend how someone could spend their time trolling the internet in order to defend and downplay whatever government cover-up or abuse is in the news this week, consider the fact that they may be on a government payroll. The Canadian government has been caught paying a media group to monitor online political discussion and respond to, quote, misinformation. In other words, to spread state-sanctioned propaganda in the latest scandal to hit the Harper administration. Quote, under the pilot program, the Harper government paid a media company $75,000 to monitor and respond to online postings about the East Cold Seal Hunt, reports News 1130, which appears to be an AM radio station. As I click over, yes, All News Radio, News 1130. And there's people already saying, I don't see it a problem on the comments there, probably trolls themselves. We have a culture where we can say, the government shouldn't do this. But then if the government's caught doing this, the government should do this because people are crazy and they need to be, battled by the government. And again, that's all. The state should do this to us. The state should tell us what to do. The state should tell every business in Toronto, how to run their business. Yeah, nobody can smoke at your business anymore. It's like, but my business is full of 75-year-old Greek people who smoke. Yeah, well, you're not allowed to anymore. Well, screw you, buddy. And so, fortunately, private clubs have sprung up to help take care of that. Back to the article here. Before Mr. Smith takes over with your one flight up, I'm just going to finish a couple of thoughts here. The government has a lot of power that it feels the need to monitor public bulletin boards or places where people express views and then respond to that. Seems to me going beyond a reasonable action the government should be taking, said UBC computer science professor and president of the BC Freedom of Information and Privacy Association, Richard Rosenberg. A poll carried on the News 1130 website shows that majority of respondents, 77%, are not intimidated by the fact that the government is monitoring their online conversations and would not regulate the information they post on the internet. Again, this has all been normalized. Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, the idea of telling everybody what you're doing all the time, not caring about your privacy. The reason this is sold in pop culture is so that it can be exercised by our corrupt establishment against us. So now when you say the government's spying on everything, they're hearing all your phone calls, you're reading all your email, they're literally monitoring you 24/7 without any probable cause, treating you like a criminal, not even guilty till innocent, because they're not going to stop, just guilty. You're constantly guilty, like you're in a prison on the prison planet, as this article by Paul Joseph Watson at prisonplanet.com suggests. When you tell someone that, they're like, I don't care. And there's a reason for that. And it ties into, how we've been socialized in this country to talk to each other, what we've been socialized in this country to talk to each other about, how, psychiatry and groupthink and academia and other institutions give a professional face to all this. And then, of course, how, governments and so on infiltrate resistance movements to this type of activity. You know, and again, there's a bunch of other articles. You can go to Infowars.com to check out this article. Very, very well sourced. And of course, there was COINTELPRO back in the 1950s. And now that the leaders of Toronto Truth Seekers apparently hate each other, just like black leaders, which I don't. I love my colleagues there. I love everybody. I'm worried about the people that get people to hate me. If somebody gets someone to hate me, I hate them. But if somebody hates me, I ain't really tripping because, you know, it's a mistake. There's no reason to hate me. You're crazy. Why would you hate me? It's ridiculous. Anyway, but back in the 60s and 70s, COINTELPRO, the counterintelligence program run by the FBI, would talk to one black leader about another black leader, make friends with them, and say, I'm your friend now. And hasn't that guy been talking some smack? And isn't that guy, you know, trying to take over? And doesn't that guy have bad ideas? And isn't that guy not being political enough? And isn't that guy going to cost us funding and relationships with other people? And I heard that guy says this, and just pumps a steady stream of crap into this other guy's ear while becoming his best friend. And then that guy starts looking at the other guy like he's scum, and then all of a sudden starts treating him bad, and then the other guy goes, whoa, now this guy appears to not like me, and so I'll start and this is how they've divided and conquered leaders forever. This is old. This is ancient. This was done by Egypt. That's how the Egyptian Babylonian Empire ran for thousands of years, and the Roman Empire, and of course the British. You know, you can see all the movies about the Roman Empire with guys with British accents. That's because the modern day Brits, the sort of super elite, you know, upper crusty crust circle in London, England, they fancy themselves modern Romans, decadent, invincible, the senatorial class, while the rest of us plebes are meant to work for them. But we're not having that. So, places you can go before Mr. Smith shows up. I'm going to shout out Infowars.com, NaturalNews.com, TrendsResearch.com, and locally, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, ConspiracyCulture.com, PressForTruth.ca. Grab a Toronto Street News on the Street, StatismWatch.blogspot.com, and many, many more. So basically, folks, you know, you can check a copy of the show. I'm going to include some links to this. Pay attention to the new CAMH out there. It's just being developed. They just broke ground on that a couple of months ago. But, you know, as they normalize that, you know, watch them normalizing that. Watch how they normalize things that you have an inherent opposition to. And then, of course, you know, oppose them. There seems like nothing wiser to recommend to do today. It's been May 25th, 2010. It's been your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, Mondays to Thursdays, 6 to 7 a.m. You can reach me at blackkrishna@gmail.com. Mr. Colin Smith is up next with your one flight up. Have a great day, everybody. You know what? I wish I could cry, but I don't cry, so I got to make the song cry. And since I can't do it right now, here's Jay-Z and Coldplay with What If We Cry. Rather mine, I don't know what made me leave that shit. Made me speed that quick. Let me see, that's it. It was the cheese helping bitches get amnesia quick. I used to cut up their buddies, now they saying they love me. Used to tell their friends I was ugly and wouldn't touch me. Then I showed up in that dubbed out buggy. And then it got fuzzy and they don't remember that. And I don't remember you. I can't see it coming down my eyes, so I gotta make this song cry. I can't see it coming down my eyes, so I gotta make this song cry. Yeah, I seen them coming down your eyes, but I gotta make this song cry. I can't see it coming down my eyes.